welcome to Zion's Sunday Morning Worship, presented by 105-year-old Zion Lutheran Church of Silver Hill, Alabama, raising the call to worship the Lord Jesus Christ in Baldwin County. We are a church of the Association of Free Lutheran Congregations, which grew out of Norwegian Lutheran Pietism more than a century ago. God's call to worship is simple and straightforward. Give unto the Lord the glory due His name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. That's Psalm 29, verse 2. You and I are not worthy to come into the presence of our Heavenly Father. Believers from the very early days of worship have confessed their sins, their inadequacies, and their decisions which have separated them from God. Lutherans share a public confession each Sunday morning. Almighty God, our Maker and Redeemer, we poor sinners confess unto you that we are by nature sinful and unclean, and that we have sinned against you by thought, word, and deed. Therefore we come for refuge to your infinite mercy, seeking and imploring your grace for the sake of our Lord Jesus Christ. O most merciful God, who has given your only begotten Son to die for us, have mercy upon us, and for his sake grant us remission of all our sins, and by your Holy Spirit increase in us true knowledge of you and of your will, and true obedience to your word, that by your grace we may come to everlasting life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Well, God promised us to hear this kind of prayer. Psalm 145, verses 17 through 20 explains, "The Lord is righteous in all his ways, gracious in all his works. The Lord is near to all who call upon him, to all who call upon him in truth. He will fulfill the desire of those who fear him. He also will hear their cry and save them. The Lord preserves all who love him, but all the wicked he will destroy." When we worship together, we affirm the great doctrines and teachings of the historic church by reciting one of the creeds of the faith. The Apostles' Creed states, "I believe in God the Father Almighty, Maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated on the right hand of God the Father Almighty, from where he shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, and the resurrection of the body and life everlasting. Amen." Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, your bulletin insert is a little bit different for the sermon today. I've given you the New King James Version with a little space on the left there to take notes. Maybe that says I'm going to say something today, but no, we're just going to talk about the scripture. But maybe you want to take a note. If you got your own Bibles with you, you might want to have them open as well. Today's lesson is very interesting. Jesus and his disciples had traveled to the region of Tyre and Sidon. Now, these were great trading cities of the time up on the Mediterranean, north of Israel. These particular communities embraced Greek thinking, and they honored both the Canaanite gods and the Greek gods of the time. They had fancy tombs of kings, and they had big buildings, and they were impressive. They were successful seaports. So Jesus and his disciples traveled there, We are talking about the concluding days of Jesus' 3.5 year ministry. These people, probably some Jews, but primarily non-Jewish people, know Jesus. You may remember that woman up there who wanted healing for her daughter, and Jesus talks about the crumbs on the table falling, and should the dogs get them? And the woman says, well, even we should be able to get the scraps from the table. That's the idea. She wanted healing for her daughter, and it was such a scrap. They're in Tyre. Well, Jesus healed that child, and we're looking at a time just after that. Jesus and the disciples traveled back to Galilee. Now, think about Galilee being a clock. Here's the clock right here. At 11 o'clock, probably up in this area is where Tyre and Sidon are. So they travel back this way, and they travel around the clock down to about 4 o'clock over here. Tyre would be about 35 miles away from the Sea of Galilee. So where they end up for today's lesson, we're probably talking maybe 50, 60 miles from Tyre and Sidon. The disciples are not alone as they're traveling back with Jesus. There's a crowd following along. Now, we don't know if this is a Jewish crowd or a Gentile crowd or a mixed crowd, but the odds are it's a mixed crowd. The Sea of Galilee is in a valley with rather steep sides, particularly on the west. The towns around are little towns, and there was a governmental unit on the east side of the Galilee called the Decapolis. Remember Alexander the Great? He had beaten the kings of the Middle East, and he had taken control of the geography and so forth, and he was responsible for founding those 10 towns. They were not Jewish towns, okay? They were Gentile towns, but they were Greek, like Alexander. So we have Jesus traveling among the Greeks here, close to the Jewish communities, and there's about 4,000 people we're talking about in today's lesson, a mix of Jewish and non-Jewish people here. So there is Jesus relatively close to the Sea of Galilee at about 4 o'clock on that map. So let's look at what Mark tells us. And you can follow along on your bulletin insert, because I'm going to use the New King James Version. The central question that we're looking at for these verses is this: why this miracle? Was it just a matter of compassion for hungry people here? Or was there some other reason for this miracle? When we look at this little lesson, we discover the big idea. Jesus teaches his disciples here, giving little answers for big problems. So let's begin by looking at this section of scripture with a magnifying glass. We're going to start with verses 1 and 2. In those days, the multitude being very great and having nothing to eat, Jesus called his disciples to him and said to them, I have compassion on the multitude because they have now continued with me 3 days and have nothing to eat. Not only did they continue with Jesus, but they've been walking around the Sea of Galilee. So they've been traveling as they've been with him. Mark tells us that this is a special time in Jesus' ministry. This is not the beginning of the ministry. And it's not exactly the end either, but it's very close to the end. It is the time that Jesus has gone into Gentile territory, which he's not done before. Now, lots of people are following Jesus in this episode. The crowd around Jesus is no little group. There are 4,000 men there. They counted the men. But there were women and children there as well. So this is a big group. People would carry a lunch with them when they went to an event, just like they do today. The problem? The crowd has been there 3 whole days and they have just plain run out of everything. The Lord does not call the crowd together. No, he calls the disciples together. Now remember what a disciple is. A disciple is a learner or a pupil. Jesus has poured about 3.5 years of training into these 12 men so that they would learn. Might we be looking at a class project here, or maybe a class test? Jesus lays out the problem for the class. He says, number one, I feel sorry for this situation with these people. Two, there are just too many people here for the food resources we have. Three, they're hungry. If there are little kids there, you can just imagine how hungry it probably is. Well, look at verse 3. This is Jesus talking, of course. If I send them away hungry to their own houses, they will faint on the way, for some of them have come from afar. Well, Jesus is the teacher. Teachers give direction. Jesus can send this crowd back home. But Jesus sees another problem. These folks are so hungry that they will conk out before they get home. Now, remember, we have a law in some states in this country. If a bar sends a drunk home and he gets in an accident, who's responsible? The bartender. Isn't that the way it is? Well, this isn't the same kind of situation exactly. But the sense is that Jesus feels responsible for this hunger dilemma. This teacher has been so good, you see, and he's such a spellbinder for people that they just would not leave at an appropriate time for them. Remember, Jesus has been traveling from Tyre and Sidon. That's 40 or 50 miles away. We don't know who's in the crowd, except many have come a long ways from home. Well, look at verse 4. His disciples answered Jesus and said, well, how can one satisfy these people with bread here in the wilderness? Nobody's got what it takes, is the bottom line. Have these pupils learned anything? Well, yes. They know about asking questions, so they ask and answer for the obvious. They use a word that we translate satisfy. How can one satisfy these people? The sense is, how can we satisfy all of them? But the word in the original language of Mark means more than just satisfy. It means to fill up. They are not talking about filling one person in the multitude up. They are talking about filling them all up. What the disciples are telling Jesus is that there is no way for them as disciples to solve this problem. Besides, they are in the wilderness. Now, in the Jesus day, that term means it's an empty place. Doesn't mean that things don't grow there, but it's empty. Like a desert. Now, remember, they called Jesus Master, which translates literally teacher. Lord Jesus, Well, you'll have to show us. That's what they say. Teacher, what is the answer? We're the pupils, you're the teacher. What's the answer? Verse 5. Jesus asked them, how many loaves do you have? And they said, seven. Now, bread is a staple of life. It was then and it is now. Jesus is asking about bread with yeast in it. He's not talking about unleavened bread here, what you'd use at Passover. Jesus is asking about just plain bread. The answer is important. They do have some very limited resources, seven loaves of bread. Now, seven is a very important number in the Bible. It is the number that symbolizes completeness, and it symbolizes God's completeness especially. Now, remember Genesis and creation. Creation was completed in 6 days, but it wasn't over until God had rested on the seventh day. So 7 days when you count them. Well, go on to verses 6 and 7. So Jesus commanded the multitude to sit down on the ground. And Jesus took the seven loaves and gave thanks and broke those loaves and gave those loaves to the disciples to set before the crowd. And they set the bread before the multitude. And then, isn't it always at the last minute something else shows up? They also had a few fish. And they weren't just fish, they were small fish. And having blessed them, he said to them also, put them before the people there. Jesus does not explain what's going to happen to these learners of his, these disciples. No, Jesus shows them. He's using a concrete learning approach here, right? Jesus signals the crowd to sit down. The New King James Version uses the word commanded them to sit down, but the sense is, he invited them to sit, It is the wilderness on the east side of the Sea of Galilee. This is no picnic. There are no tables there. There's just dirt to sit on. It's a very dry area, no grass. Forget those pictures that you've seen of people sitting on grass and waiting to eat here. Jesus does nothing until the crowd is in place and seated. Look at what happens next. Jesus takes those limited resources that have been identified, he blesses them. He breaks them into resources that those pupils of his can handle, and then these learners, these disciples, distribute the bread. We are not talking about sliced bread with 22 slices per loaf. Do you know that's how many slices there are in a loaf? When Boy Scouts go on plan, they have to count. I saw, I remember that. But 22 slices, that's not what they had. This is loaves of bread, seven loaves broken into 12 portions to be distributed. The disciples each got about half a loaf. So they must take their half loaves and tear off pieces for the crowd that they are delivering food to. You know how often a little extra of something pops up after you get started with a project? There's a few small fish there that show up here. Those fish get blessed separately. Those disciples get the fish. Can you imagine breaking three small fish into pieces to be passed around? One third of a small fish to each disciple to pass around? Well, that's the kind of quantities we're talking about here. Everything goes. All the resources are blessed, and the resources are given to the disciples, and all the resources are distributed by those disciples, and all the resources are received by the crowd. So we get to verse 8. So they ate and were filled, and they took up 7 large baskets of leftover fragments. Crowds tend to act as a unit, to behave as a unit. What we find with this crowd is they all ate. The word for were filled has the sense that they each had more than enough for lunch. Each person got fed, was filled up, and had something left. So not only did each person have more than enough, there were these leftovers, the disciples took the leftovers and filled 7 hampers. Some translations call them baskets or just baskets. But these are big baskets and they are filled with fragments of food. They had more leftovers than original food. Verse 9. Now those who had eaten were about 4,000, and he sent them away. Well, Mark can see what you're thinking here. He says, yes, it is a multitude, but this is a whale of a story. How big was that multitude? Mark tells us, 4,000 adult males, okay? And uncounted children and women. Now, Jesus had the crowd sit down, and now he has them all get up, and he sends the multitude away back to their homes. He didn't tell them to go get lost. The word for send might be translated as dismissed. You know, it's time to go is what the sense is. Jesus is not telling the people just to leave, but their time is up, and it's time for them to go back to their daily living. So we're back to that central question. Why this miracle? Was it just a matter of compassion for hungry people? Was it a multiplication deal to get more food? Was it for some other reason? What did the disciples learn from this event? Well, Jesus teaches his disciples with little answers for big problems. We have some observations that we can make. 1, Jesus calls those who follow him together to figure out how they can meet the needs of the people who seek to follow Jesus. This is a story about the disciples. There is no indication that there is payback of any kind going on here. How many times do Christians today look at the benefits in doing a ministry instead of looking at Christ's desire for that ministry? 2, Jesus sees the problem with the crowd from the crowd's perspective, not from the disciples' perspective. How many times do we fail to labor for the Lord's work because we look at our limitations and not at the Lord's perspective here? 3, Jesus will show how ministry can be done. His answer is not always in words, but is often in action and provision. Weren't the resources readily available? Most people would have considered them non-resources. Did Jesus not use what was there despite the doubts of the disciples? 4, Jesus literally helped the disciples discover the resources they had. It wasn't Jesus who was concerned about too little, was it? How should you and I evaluate how much is enough for a ministry if the Lord seeks that ministry in our lives? Five, Jesus does not distribute anything. The ministry here is the Lord's, but all the ministry takes place through those who follow Jesus. The disciples followed Jesus' directions. What does it take for us to follow Jesus and his directions? Six, Jesus satisfied the needs of that crowd. Why do we need to look at satisfaction instead of counts of ministry deliveries? Isn't that what we're good at? How many people showed up for something? How many people got fed or whatever? That's not the emphasis. Jesus looks at the needs of the crowd and satisfies them. Seven, Jesus loves people. How can you and I, as his disciples, satisfy those who are seeking Jesus? Isn't that interesting? Seven loaves, seven questions. Let's pray. Dear Lord Jesus, thank you that you call each of us to discipleship and that you seek to teach each of us how to minister to others in your name. Thank you for this practical lesson about using resources to reach out and satisfy the needs of those who seek you. Amen.
We are coming to the end of our time together. Let's share the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. Oh, please receive the Lord's benediction. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, Zion Lutheran Church invites you to liturgical worship. We use the familiar classic common service, which has been a choice of a variety of Lutheran church bodies for the last century. Got more time? Come to Sunday school at 9 a.m. Want midweek Bible study? Join us at 7 p.m. on Wednesdays for an hour of study and a time of prayer. Are you a lady? How about considering our monthly women's Bible study at 10 a.m.? Call Zion Lutheran Church for details at 251-945-5209. And men, think breakfast before work. Complimentary breakfast. Our Men's 710 Breakfast and Speaker Fellowship meets at 7:10 a.m. on the second Tuesday of the month. Zion is located a block off State Highway 104 at 15875 4th Avenue at 7th Street in beautiful Silver Hill, just across the street from Silver Hill School. Zion Lutheran Church is a congregation of the AFLC, the Association of Free Lutheran Congregations, the fourth largest Lutheran denomination in America. Specific information about Zion Lutheran Church can be obtained at www.lutheransinsilverhill.com or by calling 251-945-5209. Goodbye, and God bless you until we meet again.